Shalom. Yeah. And see, because I just returned with about 33 others, 32 others from Israel, and it was absolutely incredible trip. We'll tell you more about it at some time, but I've also shared with some that we're planning a trip in 2015, in the fall of 2015. I don't know how many people I've already had come to me today and said, look, we're going to go. We are going to go on that trip. I really, truly would want to take all of you. And if we could work that out, I would do that. It was such an amazing experience. And I think probably what I've taken away, and people have asked, what's your big takeaway? I loved being there. I loved the sights. I loved being where Jesus was. But I tell you, the Gospels have come alive like they have never before. Came first Sunday here, you're wondering what's going on. It's what we're calling our All-In Sunday. And throughout the day, from our 8 o'clock gathering, our 9:30, our 11, and our 5 o'clock gathering, we're baptizing nearly 40 people today. And that's incredible. As far as I know, that's the most we've ever done in one day here at Gateway. And I'll be talking a little bit about why we baptize and what that looks like, what baptism means and what it doesn't mean. So if you're sitting beside this stack of fill-in sheets, would you grab that, even if you have to get up from your seat and just pass it down, because I'm going to give you some fill-ins this morning as I just share with you for the next 12 minutes or so what baptism, water baptism means and what it doesn't mean. While you're gathering, just let me just talk about the word baptism for a moment. Comes from a Greek word, baptisma, and it means washing, dipping, immersing something into water. Now, we know that baptism was practiced in Israel before Jesus' time. In the New Testament, however, baptism begins with John, especially the baptism of Jesus. And we'll read about that in Matthew chapter 3. So let me share it with you, because Jesus really provides the example for every follower of his. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan, to the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. And from that, we can understand that Jesus really provides the example for us in being one of his disciples. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission that we sometimes call it says to go into all the world and do what? Make disciples, baptizing them or incorporating them. Talk about that in just a few moments. At Gateway here, we believe that water baptism is an important part of being a Jesus follower. So if you trusted Jesus, you placed your faith in him, regardless of what age you did that, we believe the next step is to be baptized by him and to celebrate that brand new life. And it serves as a story, as a testimony to those who watch. Now, I received Jesus when I was 9 years old, and it was in an altar. Any 9-year-olds down here? Any nine? Almost nine years old? Okay.
No, I'm 10.
You're 10. Okay, well, I'll talk about being 10 in just a moment. But at 9 years old, I knelt at an altar and received Jesus as my Savior. You know, as a 9-year-old, my life was changed. I can still remember the words that I said. I can still remember and picture the altar that I knelt at that day. And then at 10 years old, I followed the Lord in water baptism. It was at a church not far from here in downtown Bremerton where I grew up. And I remember that day because there were a number of us being baptized in water. Well, it was really interesting because I was in the line back here and I was listening to all of those give their name to the pastor who was baptizing us, and they were all including, for some reason, their middle name. So it'd be like, John Mark somebody, or, you know, Susie, Ruth Susie, you know, all had their middle name. The problem is, there are five siblings, I have four other siblings, and I am the only one that my mother never gave a middle name to. It's just an initial. A, so it's Thomas A. Dot Dushman. That was a difficult birth or something. I don't know. She couldn't even come up with a middle name at all. Everyone else has a middle name. So I'm thinking, great. I'm the only guy without a middle name. So I did something really creative at 10 years old. I gave myself a middle name. in that lineup. My mother had no clue, no idea at all. Nobody had an idea. And all I know is I had an uncle who had a name, middle name, Albin, A-L-B-I-N. Now, I know you'd never choose that name, but you know, it's the only thing I could think of, started with an A. So I said, Thomas Albin Douchman. And when the pastor announced that, like my mother's eyes were like that big, everyone's eyes that big, and, you know, I took a new name. You know, the reality is this, that when we receive Jesus, we have a brand new identity, don't we? We really do. We have a brand new name, and we're celebrating that today. Do you know, at Gateway, as I already mentioned, nearly 40 people will follow the Lord in water baptism. It's a day to celebrate. Well, I'll take you to a couple passages today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 8 and Romans chapter 6. Acts chapter 8 and Romans chapter 6, and just put your finger there. And let's listen to another baptism story. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse number 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. I can picture that in my mind. So he started out. And he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Get the visual picture in your mind here. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture that he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. I don't think that will happen today with anyone baptizing, but nonetheless, that was Philip's experience. But can you get the visual picture of what was going on here? Here the Holy Spirit prompts Philip to go up to this carriage because the eunuch or someone has questions about what he's reading, and Philip explains it to him. The eunuch didn't know if the scripture was talking about him or someone else. And Philip had the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. And we talk about that a lot here. You know, what opportunity has Jesus given to you to share the good news about what he has done? And Philip had that opportunity. And then they come and to this area of water. And the eunuch says, why shouldn't I be baptized? And so Philip baptizes him. Now, we don't know why it is that the eunuch knew he should be baptized. We don't read everything that Philip said. Maybe Philip talked to him about that. But for sure we know that Gentiles are baptized when they became Jewish proselytes. We know that. And throughout the book of Acts, baptism is an important part of a believer's commitment to Christ and witness for Christ. And so Philip baptized him on that day. Now, who should be baptized? Every person who has trusted Jesus as their personal Savior should be baptized. We call it believer's baptism. That means that any person who has not invited Jesus Christ into his life or her life, you know, there's no reason to be baptized. Because if you're baptized, whatever word you want to use, a sinner or a pagan or someone who has trusted Jesus, you're gonna go in and you're gonna come out a wet sinner and a wet pagan. There's no, you know, it would do nothing for you. We call it believer's baptism. That's why we don't baptize infants. We dedicate infants like what we did today, because baptism is a natural follow-up to placing our trust in Jesus. It's called believer's baptism. So what is, you have your fill-in sheet, grab it, and we're going to go through it in just a moment, and then we're going to get to baptisms today. Why baptisms? Number one, It's your story. Now, you might put a different word in there. It's your testimony, but it's your story that you personally believe in and belong to Jesus Christ through repentance. That is, you've received him as your Lord and Savior into your heart. You're a brand new person. It's your story. Today, we celebrate the story of nearly 40 people. They are of all ages. It's a visual story. When you see those who are being baptized in this 11 o'clock gathering, what you're seeing is a visual story of a life that's been changed. That means regardless of their age, at some point in their life, whether it was 9 years old or 10 years old or 20, 30, 40, or 50, there was a point in their life when they're declaring that Jesus has given me a brand new identity. Talk about that in just a moment. It's their story of a life that was this, but now it's this. It's your story. It's a visual sermon that speaks of what Christ has done for you. In fact, early this morning, or it was last night, early this morning, I posted on my Facebook page that today there's going to be like 37 sermons at Gateway, because that's what we're seeing. That's what we're experiencing today. So it's your story. Number two, it's God's way of confirming what has happened to you. You have been born again. It's God's way of confirming what has happened to you. Now, we're familiar with the term initiation, aren't we? Some of you were initiated into some group, maybe a fraternity or something like that. Well, that's what's happening here. Matthew chapter 28 says to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize them or incorporate them into the body of Christ. It's God's way of confirming what has happened to you. You've been born again. You've been initiated into a brand new body. So Romans chapter 6, let's just go there. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, in just a few verses. Here's what's happened to you. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. It's a visual of what water baptism is all about. We die to him and we're raised to brand new life. It's God's way of confirming. Number three, it's a declaration. Everybody say declaration. It's a declaration of your intention and desire to follow him all your life. So when these are following the Lord in water baptism, what they're doing is they're declaring that I've received Jesus as my Savior, and it's my intent and my desire to follow him all my life. But it doesn't just include today, it includes the future. All of my life, I will follow him and I will serve him. It's a declaration of our intention. It's not a promise to be good or perfect. Perfect people, please raise your hand. It's not a promise to be good or perfect, but to allow the Holy Spirit to produce a life of practical righteousness in us and then through us. Baptism points us beyond our present to God's eternal community. It's both for today and it's for tomorrow. Number four, it's your identification with the body of Christ and other Christians. If we belong to Jesus Christ, the head of the body, we are also part of and belong to other members of the body. So we identify with a local body of believers, first our families, and then a local body of believers, and then the larger body of Christ. It's our identification. Years ago, when I was leading youth ministries, and I was actually leading a camp not far from here, a camping program, there was a habit of baptizing students who came to know Jesus at camp. And I felt like immediately that's going to stop. And we stopped that. Here's the reason why. Because students received the Lord, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But felt like that baptism was something that should be done you know, with their families and in the local church where I identify with the local body of believers and, of course, the larger body of Christ. We identify with his body as a Christian. Well, that's what baptism is. What doesn't it mean as we do that today? Well, water baptism does not remove our sins, and we know that only Jesus can do that. If you think for a moment that being baptized in water is the thing that removes sins, it does not. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that confession of our need for him that removes our sins. Water baptism, again, is just a declaration of what he has already done. So water baptism doesn't remove our sins. Only Jesus can do that. Number two, water baptism does not make us a new person. It shows that we already are a brand new creation. We've been created new when we placed our trust and our faith in him. And it's just a sign of what has happened to us. It shows we are already a new creation. And number three, water baptism is not a promise to never sin again. We must give ourselves to God each day by trusting the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. So as these are baptized today, what they're saying is, look, I give myself to God to lead me and to guide me and to direct me and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. You've heard me say it often, if you've attended Gateway for long, that sometimes we push away the Holy Spirit, you know, when he convicts us because we don't like the feeling of conviction. But that's God, that's his Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And we pray for that and we embrace that. And that's what these are doing today. Baptism is a marker in our life. If I were ever to ask you how many are discouraged or have you ever been discouraged, we would all raise our hand, wouldn't we? But baptism is a marker in life that takes the enemy back to a point in time and says, right there is when I declared what Jesus had done in my life. He made me a brand new person. He said he would never leave me and he would never forsake me. We take the enemy, the great discourager, right back to this point where we said, look, I declared my trust and my faith in him and that he would lead me and that he would guide me. I love it. What Martin Luther King said. He said, whenever Satan would continually strike at him with doubts, this great reformer would grab the devil by the collar, take him back through time, and throw him down in front of the baptismal waters, and then he would say this, you see, Satan, Martin Luther is baptized. I like that. What he was saying is, man, this right here is what's happened to me. I died to him, and I was raised to brand new life. And so we're going to celebrate today as I think somewhere around 15 or 16, 13, 14, somewhere around now, I've lost count now, are following the Lord in water baptism today. Now, two things. If you're here and you want to follow the Lord in water baptism, but maybe this day wasn't the best day for you for some reason, or maybe right now you're going, you know, I just feel like I should do that. I understand what God's word is saying. On this Connect card, there's a place for you to include your name, and there's a box here that says, I would like to be water baptized. And you can take that and fill it out, leave it lying on your seat, or give it to the folks in the lobby there, and then we'll have someone contact you. Look, it doesn't take long to fill that tank up, and we will fill it up every week as long as people want to follow the Lord in water baptism. That's my commitment to you. That's number one. Number two, there are parents here and grandparents and friends and family of those who are being baptized. And so, like in the other gatherings, there's no better place to take a picture than like right here. So you get up out of your seat and you come over and you stand right here. And if you just want to stand and watch your family or friend or relative get baptized, please do that. All right? We're going to celebrate together. Let's stand together, shall we? And Chad's going to lead us. I have desire.